Hello, how are you? It's Siobhan with you here. I hope you're having a nice week. Joining me on this episode, absolute legend in the women's game and in England, Farah Williams, MBE. So I first met Farah. She and Katie McCabe and Emma Mitchell were really good pals. And Katie was in feeding my cat one day and I'd just come home and Farah and Mitchie were there. And I remember thinking she was really up for a laugh, very open, very chatty. And I had no idea just how good and just how talented she was, never mind how far she'd come at that time. No idea she was an MBE. She speaks very candidly about her upbringing. She obviously had a hard time. She was homeless for a spell, but she is one of the best ever. And I hope you enjoy this very open and very honest chat with Farah. Hello, Farah. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Very formal.
Yeah, I'm good now. I've got a cup of tea anyway.
You've got a cup of tea. Usually it would be a beer back in the day.
It would have been.
How are you? Be honest, I know you've been through the ringer a lot recently, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm on the mend. Lockdown's been crazy, not just for me, but for everyone. Going into lockdown, I had an injury. So I had some surgery before that, which was actually a good thing in terms of it gave me something to focus on. In terms of recovery, and then I got ill, so I had a kidney problem which I'm recovering from now with medication.
We were speaking about your kidney problem just before we started recording there, and you are, I mean, you're going to obviously play it down now, but some really weird things happening to your body. Just explain some of them for us.
Yeah, really weird. I guess the medication is probably playing a little part in that, but yeah, just swelling in the body, post and pre and post training, so really hard to try and get to that, you know, that match fitness that I need. So I'm struggling a bit in training, but I think the athlete in me is telling me I'm okay and keep trying to push. But yeah, I guess at some point something needs to give, I think.
It sounds like you're really pushing yourself, like that you've been on certain tablets that aren't making you sleep great, so you're getting up and cycling at 4 a.m.
Yeah, so yeah, obviously with the medication, I think you get a bit of an insomnia at the beginning of it, and as you lower your dose of medication, that changes. So yeah, I was up at like 4 a.m, what can I do? And I was going out on the bike, so that was the only form of exercise I could do. So,
and are you feeling fit, or is it just hard just now?
No, I'm nowhere near fit. I'm trying to get fit. It's difficult because, as I say, I really push on and have a really high intensity session and feel really good in it. And then I'll go home and have an episode of swell up, and you know, I could gain up to 6 kilos in weight with fluid in my body. So, yeah, that's been the struggle, trying to keep that fluid off. So,
what's the name of this condition?
I might get it wrong. Nephrotic syndrome of the kidney. So yeah, it's just where you're leaking protein into the body from the kidney. I'm on the mend. Yeah, apart from having a swollen face.
You don't want to have a swollen face.
Really paranoid about. You're being nice. Really paranoid about. But yeah, you can cover everything else. I can't cover my face. The mask is doing me well though. I don't mind wearing them.
Okay, so 2 foot. But I'm glad that you're on the mend and that this medication will sort things out for you. But getting to football, you're at Reading now.
I'm going into my fourth season now.
How is it?
I love it. It was a big move from Arsenal to go to Reading. But you know, in terms of football, it's what I needed. I wasn't enjoying my time at Arsenal, and not because of anything Arsenal did, but more so myself. And I didn't want to finish a game and go out of the game, you know, being at a club where I wasn't playing, I really underperformed. So I really wanted to go out on a high and enjoy football. I think throughout my career, it's always been my out, you know, in terms of when things have been good and bad. So I didn't want to go out having had that last season at Arsenal. So I knew I needed to get the joy factor back in it. And Reading really have brought that out on me, and probably why I'm still playing now at 36.
You're loving it again. Do you feel that that's all come back?
That is what's come back. And that's why, I mean, you know, when I did go to Reading, in my head I was thinking, you know, I signed a 2-year contract and, you know, if I was playing and I was happy, I'd have probably retired after that 2 years. But I think because they did bring it all back and I was learning and I felt like I was getting better, I just want to keep playing.
Progress is happiness, as they say, when you're progressing, you're doing well. You are one of the best England players of all time, most capped. How incredible is that? Do you ever have to pinch yourself and remind yourself how good you are?
Not how good I am. Remind myself of what I've achieved and, yeah, staying in. You know, when people say you're good, you're like, yeah, I'm okay. But there's so many good England players that I was, you know, I had the chance to play with over my career. But certainly when I look back, when I retire, in terms of what I've achieved and staying in that England setup for as long as I did, I must have been doing something right.
What do you think that was?
Probably wanting to learn, always wanting to learn no matter where I was. And at England, I don't know, just have this passion to play for England no matter what. That drive, I don't know, just an inner drive, I think, that you either have or you don't. Mm. I think I have it. And I think, as I say, at football, I mentioned it just before, it's just, it's been that focus for me through good and bad. And I guess that's what, that drive and that support that football gave me. Mm. I think that's what's probably kept me there.
You had a very tough time, and then you found football. Talk to us about some of the things that you did go through. What was your hardest time before football led you down a different path?
I mean, my mum was brilliant. We had, you know, she had four kids. We had, and her support for us as a single parent for our youth days was brilliant. And, you know, she's always been my role model in terms of how strong she was. And I feel like I took a lot from that in my own personality from her. Mm. But it was tough for her. It was never easy for her bringing up four kids. You know, it wasn't the nicest of upbringings in terms of, you know, boyfriends, etc., that we had, dad and stuff that we had around at the time. But in terms of her fight against that and how strong she was in really tough periods for her, I think when I then had tough periods in my life, I certainly looked at how strong she was in those moments. So in terms of how she brought us up, it was brilliant, but difficult. And I'm sure there's plenty of people that can relate to that out there when you have a parent that are trying to feed and dress and whatever for kids. It's by yourself, it's difficult. And then the homeless, when I was homeless and playing, I think being in denial about that a little bit was probably tough. And I'm not somebody, you know, I keep everything to myself. So in terms of having people around me, a support network, I had the support network, I didn't use it. So I think that having not used it was probably the hardest bit. But then I always say I had football, so
yeah,
that was always something that took my focus away from anything that wasn't so nice off of the pitch. Yeah.
That time where you were living rough, what was the lowest point for you? And could you have chosen other routes?
Oh yeah, when you see some of the people that I live within the hostel, you know, I had to share a room with four other people, and I guess they didn't have anything. They didn't have any focus, or they never had no drive or motivation to want to get out of that situation. And, you know, there was lots of drugs and drink around me in terms of what they used. But as I say, I'd be out training because I was at England, and I had support from, at the time, Hope Powell was the England coach, and Mo Marley. So they were really supportive of me. So I was, as I say, really lucky. But I saw so many young people, vulnerable young people, that just went off the rails. I just dread to think where they're at now in terms of, you know, they had no support. And the support within the hostels at the time wasn't great. You know, the key workers, there wasn't enough to support the amount of homeless, young homeless people there were.
Mm. Football helped get you there. Obviously, you had the talent and you had the drive. But how did it change your life?
Yeah, people talk about, as I say, people talk football is their out and whatever. And I think sometimes it's thrown out there too easy and they don't really mean that, because when things get hard or they're not playing, they still don't say the same quote as in football was my out.
Yeah.
But for me, it was.
Right.
In terms of when it was tough at home as a young kid, you know, I'd be out in that state just to really close away what was going on indoors, you know, hide away from it. And as I say, when you're playing football, that freedom of not having to think about it. So football really, and probably why I still play now, and probably, like, it's my comfort, which is quite scary, because I think if I haven't got it, what do I do? But yeah, I'm slowly starting to think what next after football. And I think that will hopefully help with the transition of retirement. But yeah, it definitely is my comfort.
Like you say, it makes you worry where you'll be without it.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll stay in football somehow? I mean, I know you've done a lot of charitable causes for football, and what would you like to do?
I love football, so I have a passion for it. I have a passion for learning, a passion for coaching. So yeah, I'm hoping coaching is what I do, and if there's anything else that comes with it, i.e. punditry or co-coms, I quite enjoy co-coms because it's more talking about football live. So yeah.
Can you remember your first memory of football? When was the first time you kicked the ball?
Oh, my first memory. It was my school teacher, my primary school teacher. He was the one that thought I was good. I actually didn't know. I just played because there's 11 months between me and my younger brother, so we would, like, literally just play together all the time. So I thought it was normal. But he must have identified a talent, because he had, like, a box on the wall in our school, in our primary school, for a previous player that used to play at Chelsea, Sam Parkin. So I'm talking years and years ago. But he used to get him to kick the ball against it. And so every day I used to go into school, he'd be like, if you want to be a professional, and bearing in mind, I'm talking years ago now, never envisioned or imagined female football to be professional. So when he was telling me to kick this ball against his box every day off my left and right foot, I didn't know where it was going to take me, because there was no female football back then that I even knew of. I used to play with me and all the boys. So I'm kicking it against the wall thinking, yeah, I want to be a professional. And my dream was to play at Wembley in an FA Cup because, you know, Wembley Fives, I don't know if you play at knockouts or whatever. But I did it and I was like, where's it taking me? So literally that was probably my first real memory of him saying, if you want to be a professional, you've got to practice. But not knowing where it was ever going to take me. Or
who was that teacher? What was his name?
Mr. Brian. So I don't know his first name.
Do you know Brian. Mr. Brian? You kind of warm.
Bolingbroke Primary School, if you're around.
Thanks for that encouragement.
It was only Mr. Brian, yeah, so I don't know.
Oh, amazing. And like you say, hard to envisage then, women being in professional football. Now, you are queen of women in professional football, a bit of a trailblazer. And now you see how far women's football has come for other young women coming through. What's that like?
Do you know what? For as you say, for me, I just did it because he told me to do it. So I kind of like, okay, I'm going to do this. I don't really know why. But for them to see that actually it's achievable now, actually you can make a career out of it. We didn't have that as a young player. I just played it. Yeah. And I tried to do everything, even made decisions based on education around football. So, I chose football over education. Mm. You know, I went and worked silly little jobs to pay for my football as a kid. But yeah, for these young girls growing up now, the fact that it is more visual for them to see and they do have more female role models that they can relate to, it's fantastic.
It's amazing and a bit blooming time,
for sure.
Times are changing. Just how far has it come in terms of a setup? What was the, the jolliest time going to a football match was probably like five of you in a car, yes. All bunking up together.
The best days.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
The best days. any highlights from those times, or is there one game in particular you think that was just, what a day that was?
You know what, they were the best. You know when you had the mini buses and all the teams used to meet, and that as a young player and you're around the senior players, a little bit intimidated by them, but you had to fit in, so you had to be cheeky. I was a cheeky little kid, but I love that. I feel like we've lost a little bit of that character in terms of our game. You don't really see as many cheeky. It's more not strict, but I don't really know how to explain. But as you say, you sit on each other's, there's five of you in a car, one parent picking you up, and you all jump in this car. So I actually miss the fact that some of our younger players have to go through those experiences that were hard, and it brings it to the root of it. But
it's funny because somebody who we spoke to, Leanne Creighton, Scottish player we spoke to before in the podcast, she says she feels some of the character has been knocked out of the women's game. And I know that you're a bit of a character from times gone by before. Mm. And then it's, I guess, if women want to be seen as professionals, do we have to be a certain way?
I feel that. I feel that you have to.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's where I'm misunderstood sometimes with that.
How so?
You know what? There's different types of what people perceive as professionalism. Mm-hmm. Now, if I wasn't professional, and I'm not saying I haven't made mistakes throughout my career, and, there's moments where, not just football stuff, but other things away from that can affect what your decisions are. But in terms of, having a little bit of fun and whatever else, that's me. And I think it gets the best out of me if I'm able to enjoy what I'm doing. But you have to be seen to be doing the right thing and what professional looks like. Mm. But I can't have been any more unprofessional than somebody else because it looks different. Mm. So I think it looks different, and I think I'm looked at differently or perceived in a different way because I like to joke around whilst doing it. But you don't stay in a profession that long if you're not doing it correctly.
Well, exactly.
So, yeah, I think it's you have to be seen to be doing... I'm saying the right thing. It's not that I've not done the right thing, but from the outside, what does professional look like? For me, it's different. But you're right about character. There's not many characters now. I try and look, and I coach kids now, and I'm like, come on, be cheeky to me. I want you to be. I want you to show me a little bit about you, and it's not there.
And that is a shame because you can still be yourself and be the absolute best.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you're watching there's the All or Nothing Amazon Prime series at the moment. Mm. It's at Tottenham.
I was gonna start it.
Oh, it's, I'm loving it.
I've seen
it.
Little clips of it.
It's excellent. And you see players that are good crack.
Yeah.
Dele Alli's sitting asking, is physios and coaches and the other players, do you wet your toothbrush, then put the toothpaste on, then wet it again? Yeah, and it's like these conversations and they're all having a bit of fun. And then you see the ones that don't engage.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, come on.
Yeah, but
lighten up.
It's not being professional enough talking about a toothbrush. Do you know what I mean? And that's what it's like. And it's the same in the women's game.
Hmm.
You have to be a certain way, and I'm not that certain way. And I'm not going to change who I am to fit into that certain way. Because I think if I do and I try to, and I feel like at times I tried to at Arsenal, losing me as a character, I think you lose me as a footballer. Because as I talk about that freedom and whatever within playing, if you lose that, you've lost half of me. Is and there that's genuinely how I feel.
Is there anybody in particular who has pointed that part of you out? You know, you're a joker. I don't have time for it.
Probably Pedro when I was at Arsenal. Mm. I don't think he understood my character. Probably didn't directly point it out and say that was what it was. But when I look at his character and how he was and his approach to things, I think that probably got under his skin a little bit, that I could laugh and then switch on when I needed to. Mm. Yeah, probably too loud at times. But yeah, and actually I was really looking forward to going and working with a different you know, culture, Spanish coach. I was really looking forward to going and trying to learn and adapt in a different way, because I love learning. And that was probably one of the biggest reasons I went. But yeah, we just clashed.
Do you regret anything?
No, it was a learning. I wouldn't be here now at 36 still playing if I didn't do that, because in my head I was going to Arsenal to retire. So I probably wouldn't have got these last three enjoyable years out of Reading if what happened at Arsenal didn't happen.
What would you say has been your career highlight? Bear in mind, you've had a few. What was the absolute pinnacle of your career so far?
Do you know what, I loved winning the FA Cup when I was at Arsenal at Wembley. And just because when I spoke about being in a playground, my dream was to play at Wembley and to win the FA Cup. And so doing it with Arsenal, even in the circumstances that we did it, in terms of I don't think the team was that together, but was able to pull out a result against Chelsea and win the game, that feeling was just, you know, you never get it back. And then
what is the feeling like? I want to know.
Do you know what? I can't even... It's weird because it was the best day because, as I say, I wanted to win a cup final at Wembley, but I can't even explain it. I don't know. Maybe when you look back at it, but actually that feeling, I don't know. And especially as I wasn't enjoying football at the time, to even get that enjoyment from that one day, I didn't think I'd get it. Mm. I genuinely didn't think going into the game that even if we won, I'd have the feeling that I did when I won the league at Liverpool. But it was better. And just because I think it was something I actually dreamed of as a kid.
Do you believe in like dreams and, you know, thoughts become things? Do you believe in any of that?
No, I don't. But it's because as a kid on the estate, Wembley was all we spoke about. Mm. Wembley winning, Wembley World Cup, all that, you know, the silly little games that we played. So that was the one thing that I really wanted to do and never thought it was ever achievable. So I think because I didn't think it was achievable and I achieved it, I think. I mean, who would have thought that the women's game would ever be played at Wembley?
I certainly didn't as a young player. So,
are you proud of yourself?
Yeah. When I think, especially when, because my mum still lives in an area that we grew up. So when you go back there and you still see people doing the same thing that we were probably doing and wasn't able to get out of that cycle that, you know, we could have been stuck in as kids, you know, with the upbringing that we had. Yeah, and my brothers and sisters, just to get out of it, you know, they could have all ended up on the estate still, but, you know, having houses, I'm proud of the fact that they were able to come away from that estate life and you know, own their own properties, got a nice family, is married. Mm. So yeah, not just what I've achieved in sport, but I mean, they're proud of me achieving that. But I look at them and go, you've got stability, you've got a family, and we didn't have that as kids.
People you're around can affect you. You know, some people have tried to dampen your spirit and you don't let it. Mm. How much have your surroundings affected you across your career?
I think my surroundings made me tougher, but they made me very closed off. They certainly made me tough. I think I had to be really thick-skinned, but in terms of being able to be open and speak about things that I needed to, that I was holding on to, I wasn't able to do, and probably still don't now as an adult, hold on to a lot.
Like what do you hold on to?
I don't really talk. If things are ever going, like if I ever feel down or things are going wrong, I'd keep it to myself. But by doing that, I know that it's not a good thing, because then I overthink things, but I just don't like to speak. You know what, I find it hard to trust people.
Right.
So in terms of them being able to tell somebody something and talk and hope that they would keep it between me and them, I really struggle with that.
Have you been let down by that in the past? Is that why?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just over silly things as well, like, and just feeling embarrassed, like when if I've needed to borrow money and then someone's out you in front of somebody, wow. You know, that money you borrowed, that's like, I'm never going to borrow money again.
Yeah.
If I haven't got it, I'm never going to ask for it. I just won't have it. So even that from when I was 18, I've held on to, because I needed it at that time when I was homeless, that I've never borrowed money. I've never had an overdraft. I've never had things. I've never...
Wow.
Just because...
Do you care what people think about you?
Yeah. Not so much now. Mm. I did. That was one thing I struggled with for a long period. It's horrible. Sometimes I'm like dressing and I'm like, I can't wear that in case they're looking at me for this. Sometimes I even struggle a little bit now with it, but not as much as I did.
I just think...
And people wouldn't think that of me. People, no. They think I'm an out-there type character, but no, I'm really, like, insecure with lots of things, but
you front, I think, in sport as well. You front, you have to. And that's why I speak about being thick-skinned. And that's probably why people would think or perceive me in a different way than actually what I am. I'm actually quite shy, unless I know you. And then I'm as loud and as annoying as anybody. And people probably hate me because of that. But yeah, if I don't know you, I'm quite a shy...
Yeah, and you want to, and you you want to be seen as someone who's got it all together, and you know, and you might not. So you care, you do care what people think. I think that's completely normal. I think everybody cares what people think about them. It's we're all human at the end of the day. You have an amazing partner, who I see from social media. Met earlier on, Leah. How good has she been for you?
Really good. I had a year where I was single and kind of getting to know myself. I think I was in relationships for long periods of time and. Yeah, you know what, it wasn't even planned. You know, like when you meet somebody and it's coincidence or whatever, but yeah, she's been brilliant. And we're similar in terms of where we've come from. And we can relate to a lot of things, which is really nice. And she's out of football, even better. So yeah, it's nice. And she's very supportive of my football. And I think that's what's really helped. And that's what's helped me enjoy it. She is really behind my football and really, really supports it more than I've had in the past.
Are you able to talk to her about things that you would keep, or does she know you've got something on your mind?
She does, and then I'm like, do I want to say it? But yeah, she goes mad because she knows when I'm holding on to something, but I still hold on to it.
Why, Farah? Why? I mean, like you say, it could be little things.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why
the littlest things? I don't know. She's good though. She's made me a lot more. You know, like I put things off as well. I'm really bad at like I'll do it later and it's not important
because
I'm scared to do it or a fear for it, but. She's got me more organised and doing things a lot. I mean, I wouldn't even make calls to, the doctors or, you know, like, you go in the shop. Like I was really bad with things like that. Really, really bad.
Where do you think that came from?
I don't know. I do think a little bit of our upbringing, and not that my mum stopped us from doing these things, but I don't know, maybe just being scared as a kid with some things that, as I say, the only thing I felt safe with was when I was playing football.
What was
So all other things just I had a fear of.
What was the scariest moment of growing up?
Just seeing how my mum had to deal with stepdads. Seeing her in some awful moments. Just because I couldn't do anything.
Mm.
Helpless. That was the scariest thing, feeling helpless in situations that you want to be helpful in.
Looking back to young Farah now, how far has she come?
Yeah, it's helped me because it's helped me be strong. It's helped me be strong. I've come, a long way since. I mean, them moments I wouldn't even be able to talk about without really, like, breaking down. But, yeah, I think it's really made me strong. And the fact that we can even talk about it, with my mum now. And, I think that's what helped.
How is your mum now?
She's good. She's good. We have a really good relationship. You know what? When I was homeless, it's really difficult because people automatically thought it was because of my mum I was homeless. It wasn't.
What was that situation there?
It was a family breakdown.
Right.
It was a family breakdown, but not her. And it's not something I would go into depth because I don't think it's right to.
Yeah.
But yes, we didn't talk in that period of time for a long time, probably because she's stubborn, as I say, and I'm stubborn. We're really similar in terms of personality, but it was that she was never the reason I was homeless. And as I say, she has four other kids and I'm stubborn and I had football and I thought I was a big girl and could attack this big, bad world and... I couldn't.
You always need your mum.
Yeah, you do. But I'm still too stubborn to even admit that. So it probably went on longer than it needed to in terms of not being in contact, but you learn from that. It was never a moment I didn't think about her in that period. And that's what I think I struggled with, is maybe being honest with people and saying, actually, I do need my mum. But I was trying to be brave and hide everything and hide that I was homeless. And so I never, ever got that connection until, I think I scored a goal for England. And she managed to get in contact with me because I'd mentioned her in an interview 6 years later.
Wow. And you guys, you've come an amazing long way. And you see your strength through your mum.
Oh, 100%.
Has she explained to you how proud she is of you?
Always. Every day. Which is nice. It's nice. But every day. But then I don't think she's ever heard from me how much strength from... what I've seen her through has given me, and I felt like I needed to tell her. And it was only a few months ago, I think, I told her that, and she broke down because I've probably not been brave enough to tell her. And I don't think she realizes what she's done for me as a person and even as a player. You know, you know, there's times where you doubt yourself. Your mum always never doubts you, does she? So she'll always say something that takes you from rock bottom to cloud nine. So, yeah, I was able to tell her, which I'm not very good with words, but I got them out and we had a little cry together, but it was nice.
Good. I mean, I think looking at your future, like you say, you're at Reading, you've had a few great years. In terms of your life, like, what do you want? What's the ultimate dream?
I want kids. I do, but I'm getting old. I'm hoping Leah will carry. I want a family. I want to still be involved in football. I don't know how long I want to play for. I don't want to put a time or an age, and all over here is Farrah's 36. I already know that. You don't need to keep reminding me. But it's hard. I don't know. I really don't know. I enjoy playing, and that's where I struggle, because I'm enjoying playing so much. I feel like I don't know when to give up.
Right.
But I certainly want to coach. I have a drive for, you know, and a passion for coaching. I'm involved in coaching now at Reading. I don't want to go into management too early. I love learning, so I'd love to work around people and really develop as a coach before I jump in at the top end. But yeah, if I can get a job within football, coaching to start, and obviously as I develop as a manager and have a family, I'd be quite happy.
Who's the person who inspires you now in football?
You know what, I learned a lot of Hope and Mo as coaches, mm-hmm. in terms of tactical stuff when I was growing up as a kid, and they made me really engage with football and wanting to learn it as opposed to just playing it, because so many players that just play the game and not too bothered about learning it, and that's absolutely fine. They made me want to learn the game and understand football. But in terms of coach detail, since I've been at Reading and working with Phil, our assistant coach, just his drive and passion for he's got so much passion for the game. I don't know, he's like a brother. He's like a little brother. And I really bounce off him. And yeah, he makes me want to be better, not just as a player, but as a coach, because we work together as a coach. So in terms of my coach development at the minute, he's really helping me with that. So
good. And is there any young stars coming through? Have you spotted any talent yet?
In Reading, you know, there's a young talent in the game. Is Lauren James. She's at United. She was at Arsenal for a while. We had her when she was 14. She's got to be in that England squad soon.
Really?
It has to be. So, yeah, it has to be. She's one player that I don't know how she's not there yet. But in terms of for England future, she's the next best thing to Kelly Smith. That's a big statement.
Wow.
But in my opinion, that's where I see her.
Lauren James, if you could give her one piece of advice that took you through such a long career, what would that advice be?
For Lauren, it's difficult. Lauren's, you know what, it's hard, right? Because when you're a good player, you don't realise the extra bit of work you need to do until you've been exposed to it. And I feel like she's in that sticky patch there. And I remember as a young kid, I used to think I was better than everybody. And it was once I played for England, I come on as a sub, 20 minutes against Sweden in a friendly, and I was blowing out of, I can't even tell you, I can't even say it, but I was like, oh my days. So then I went to the coach after and I was like, I didn't realise. I said, I thought I was good. And Sweden back then, I'm talking years ago, they were like one of the dominant teams. And I was like, I couldn't breathe. I need to do some more work. And it might, and for Lauren, it's certainly not technical, because her technical ability is unbelievable. But I feel like she needs to be exposed to something that's harder than what she's doing. So for me, WSL 1 is too easy for her.
Wow.
Or has been too easy for her. So she needs to go and play senior international football and be exposed, a player Germany, and then realise there's a little bit more work that needs to be done. And maybe that's a little bit of extra running or whatever it might be. Or actually, she might even be good enough and don't need to do it. But if you don't expose people to things,
yeah,
she ain't going to understand what's that next step she needs in order to get there.
Is that how you think as a coach?
Yeah.
Fully challenge them?
I think she's a player and he's challenging the level she's at. And I feel like because some people don't think she's fit enough, or because whatever she's seen, as I say, we talk about perception, there's a perception over her at the minute. And I think that if they don't think that she's fit enough, they're not going to give her the opportunity to go and be exposed to it, senior football. But actually, she's dominating when she does play in the WSL, so she is ready for that next level. Expose her to it.
The one thing that I still find incredible is you're an MBE.
Yeah.
What's that like? I feel like I should have kind of curtsied when you came in.
Do you know what? When I got that letter...
What was that like? Where were you when you got that letter?
I was away with England, and my partner at the time had rang and said that you've got this letter, and sent the picture of the letter, and there was all stamps on the back of this letter. I thought I was going to go to prison. I thought I was in trouble with the police. I was like, what have I done? And I was like, and it was under Williams. So I have two surnames, Merritt and Williams. I can't remember. Was it under Williams? And I was like, who even knows me for Williams? I'm only known in football for Williams. Like, in my normal life, I'm not known for Williams. Like,
what is it? Why are the police after me? And then it was at MB, and I was like, yeah, it was just like one of those mad moments that, like, okay. Because the charity work, I kind of fell into that in terms of the homeless work. Actually, it was Rachel Brown. She was at an Everton game, and the guy got in contact, and he started up a homeless team and asked Rachel to be involved with it. And she said, actually, I know somebody that this might be even closer to her heart than it is mine. And so it got me involved because she was my roomie at England, so she knew I was homeless at the time.
Right.
You know, just to coach them was just... they could relate to me, so I could also share my experiences of being in hostels, so it was more relatable for these homeless people. So I kind of fell into that. So to be rewarded an MBE for something that I just seen as, you know, coaching and trying to help these people in a similar situation that I was in was a mad moment. Do you know what? I don't get nervous with football, right? When I tell you, it was only a short walk, right? But my feet were so, I was so nervous. My feet were sweating. My feet were sliding out the shoes. And I only had a small walk, like a 5 metre or 10 metre walk, if that. And you're only there for no more than like 20 seconds. It was the most nerve wracking. I was shaking, trying to walk in heels while shaking. It was horrible. Oh. That little moment was horrible, but actually the whole day was really nice. But
amazing.
That slipping out of my shoes. It was horrible.
Oh, even now you still look nervous thinking about it.
It was so scary, honest to God.
Where's your pen? Where do you have that?
In my living room, like on a, you know, like the, like a ladder thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, like the decorative kind of stair thing.
So on there, just open on there, yeah.
Do you ever look and think?
When I lived in Liverpool, most of my, so like my trophies or were never on show. But like Leah's really proud of that, which is really nice. So like the fact that like I have that out in our house now, or like even like a medal.
Yeah.
She's quite proud to have that out and on show. Whereas
I'd be wearing it now.
I never had anything out.
I feel like I could talk to you all day.
That's only because I always don't shut up.
You're good at that too. But what is the one thing on your bucket list? One thing, anything in the world you would love to tick off?
I would say coach England one day, but...
Oh, put it out there.
Do you know what? I really want to go travelling when I finish. I just want to, like, a year away from, like, football and just travel. I love Thailand. We did that with a few friends for like 4 weeks in December a few years back. But yeah, I'd love to just go and travel and get away and experience different cultures and shut off to football for a year and then come back. That's not going to happen because I ain't got enough money. I don't want to sponsor me for it.
She's never going to ask for an overdraft. I love the way you are. You've got a good vibe.
Thank you.
And that's pure cheesy, but you should be so proud of yourself. I mean, I actually... going back to when we met 4 years ago, maybe, have no idea that how good you were and how far you've come. You know, I just met the girl who came in, Maroosh and Katie. And, yeah, my cat, you know, looking after my cat for me. Little did I know how good you were and that you were at MBE at the time. So congratulations on how far you've come. The future young girls coming into football, if they follow your advice, they'll be great.
Thank you, appreciate that.
Thanks for chatting.
No worries, anytime. All fair.
So there you have it, Farrah Williams, MBE, the absolute legend that she is, the most capped England player of all time, and an all-round good gal. It's funny because once we stopped recording, she was talking about Jess Fishlock, who's now at Reading, who again has an amazing career. And she was saying that Jess monitors everything she eats. You know, she tracks her heart rate day in, day out. She monitors her sleep. She has seen as an absolute professional. And Farrah, who, you know, arguably has done more incredible things than Jess, even though she's still an incredible player, would still have a chocolate bar and a beer if she fancied it, whereas Jess would really limit herself to certain things. I hope you enjoyed that chat with Farrah, and I hope you share it and like it, and I will speak to you soon.